Mela.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to
The Intersectional Yoginis Podcast.
Join us as we explore a variety of topics that impact us as women of color through a yogic lens.
Hope you don't mind irreverence and me cursing like a sailor.
Sprinkled in with a little satire and sass.
A little?
Well, we cover serious subjects that are important to us.
So if you're curious, keep listening.
Namaste.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to our first episode.
First episode.
Not zero.
Nope.
Because our first was really zero. This is our first episode. Yes. Actually, recording in this beautiful space in Burbank. Where are we, Hannah?
We are at Latinx Therapy.
That's right.
Yep.
What is this?
And so this is a space, the podcast room they have. This is also a space for Adriana is the one who created this. And there are multiple counseling rooms where people can come for
therapy.
Personal counseling. Yeah. Better exactly. Themselves. What a perfect space.
What a perfect space. Women.
Yeah.
Owned.
Yep.
Latinx woman owned. Yes. 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 Okay, so what are we going to talk about today, Hannah?
So we talked about the other week how basically there's this thing about dating apps, like playing this game with men, women, partners, whatever the case. But it kind of just came up with a friend, and we were talking about how these games not only exist in the dating world, but how we have to play these games, and it exists in a bunch of systems that we participate in. And so I kind of thought that was a subject we can definitely expand on.
Definitely. I mean, personally, I think we both have never done. English is my second language. The dating app thing, the online dating thing. I've never done that. Hannah's never done that.
Yeah.
But I think it doesn't even apply only to the dating apps. Like how there's this like set of rules or like whatever you're supposed to say or the steps you're supposed to take or like the amount of time you're supposed to wait to like I feel like just dating in general, there's like this kind of like set of rules or game. And we were also just saying like, who the fuck invented these rules?
Yeah, who made these rules?
Like in the first
place. And
why
are you following them?
Yeah. Why are you following them? Like, if you have a set of rules and you established your boundaries, good for you. But if you're just following, like, the trend of this
dating app lingo or...
Or dating lingo in general.
Etiquette, if you would call it that, but...
Question it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like these rules were invented by a bunch of horny guys.
Yes, maybe. Or
straight
like
guys.
Randomly... People just caught on and, like, that's how you're supposed to do it based on insecurity or don't want to feel rejection or trying to place yourself and your mental health kind of in a withdrawn space so that you can't get hurt.
But at the same time, I've seen this pattern of, like, trying to seem cool. You don't want to seem too interested or you don't want to seem too invested or you don't want to seem like you want not a casual relationship. Like, you have to kind of like pretend that you don't want that. So they get interested or like whatever. I don't get it. I don't get that. Yeah. Why you have to lie or why you have to pretend?
Well, and that's the thing too. It's like, I don't know. I think some people deep down want like a relationship and want exclusivity and want monogamy and like want these things. But the dating app, you want to also present yourself as open and willing to try new things and experiment and all this stuff. But the thing is if you're going, this is my feeling, if you're going into it with some sort of broad intention, even though you know what you want, then you're already starting the endeavor with conflict inside.
Which is what was happening to our friend.
Yeah.
She was conflicted.
Yeah.
Because she was like, she didn't even know what she wanted because she was just following these rules in the first place. So she was having a hard time connecting to what she really wanted. So that was one. And then when she started discovering that, she still didn't want to uncover it all at once. It was like there's this set of steps that she thought she had to follow, because just saying that she didn't want to, that she wanted monogamy, basically, yeah. It was too much. It was like a second conversation. There needed to be like a preliminary talk.
Like a slow unraveling.
Yes, yes. And I'm like, dude, like, that's like,
it's like a striptease.
Right? And we were like, that's the first, like, Hannah's always like, that's the first thing I ask. Are you a monogamist?
Yeah.
Like, do you believe in monogamy? Like, that's your first question.
Yeah, because that's important to me, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And some people, maybe not. And also,
exactly.
That's okay.
Yeah, but just say what you want. Like, don't, and it's the same, like, to me, I was even telling her, like, I don't even know if I would want, like, a casual or, like, a more like a deeper, I don't even know how to label those. Like, what's casual and what's, like, what's the other one? Like, serious? Like, aren't all, like,
yeah.
Aren't all relationships serious? Like, aren't they all real?
Yes. Yes.
But, like, I don't know, just someone to have sex with as opposed to, like, someone who you are
like
willing
spend
to
spend your life with or...
Or connect or at a connect, deeper level,
yeah.
Or whatever the fuck,
terminology,
right?
Yeah.
So, whatever the lingo that our kids using these days.
Children.
Oh, children of the corn. And I lost my train of thought. Because she was, like, the episode was that she had been seeing this guy and they had already started having sex. And then he even went over to like this other city to see her and spent a weekend with her. And it was all of these like romantic, like, I don't know, displays of affection that to me seems like it's the guy that wants to go. Relation, like a deeper relationship, like boyfriend and girlfriend type of relationship to me. So then she comes back from that. She was staying there for like a week or something. He only went there for a weekend, came back. And then when she got back, they saw each other and she found some condoms, a box of condoms in his bathroom. And it was three things. Oh, a toothbrush in the shower, in his shower. He lives with his sister. They both have separate rooms with their separate bathrooms. And also some, what is this like alcoholic beverage that the kids are doing? White Claw.
Seltzer or something?
White Claw that he previously said, like, I don't drink that shit. I don't like that. Right? Yeah. So it was like three indicators, like three pieces of physical evidence that there had been someone there that maybe who we haven't, like, we don't
know.
We
still don't know.
We still don't know. She still doesn't know. She doesn't want to know. But the thing is, like, she felt, she's like, I didn't feel jealous, but I felt uncomfortable. Like, I didn't like that. I didn't like the thought of him doing the same things he was doing with me, like, the previous week. Like, we were showering together and we were, like, doing these things. And then the thought of, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. So I'm like, okay, so, like, tell him. But she's like, but still, I stayed there and still had sex with him. And then I left, but I felt like shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I would have made a scene. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying that's also, like, a thing that you should, but I would have made a scene. Like, but she was like, because we didn't talk about, because I didn't say that from the beginning. So, like, I understand that, but at the same time, your feelings are still valid. It doesn't...
Right. Whatever you're feeling, that is what you're feeling.
And that's it.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
and you can choose to express them or not, but... It doesn't, I mean, the justification for not expressing your feelings shouldn't be like, what if he freaks out or like whatever, or what if, I don't know. That's where it's like,
like, right, it's like trapped in these rules or like confined spaces where it's like, I don't know, because this, and what if I lose him and then I have to do this all over again with a new guy, a new app, a new whatever.
But wouldn't you want to lose someone that's not going to have the same, like, you know, that's not compatible with how you think or like how you feel or like that's not going to respect whatever it is that you're feeling, like, let the fuckers filter themselves.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I agree.
Right? Okay. Okay. So the thing was, like, I'm just going to ask him about, I mean, no, I'm just going to say that if, I'm just going to ask him if he wants something casual or if he wants something, like, more serious. And I'm just going to establish that I was looking for something more serious, even though I didn't probably. mention it beforehand. I just want to clear that up. And I'm like, okay, but still, the casual serious thing is independent from the monogamy, the monogamist polygamous thing.
Yeah.
Because I can have a fuck buddy that I'm only fucking, like, we're only fucking each other and we're monogamous.
Yeah.
But we know that we don't connect in every level. So we just, like, we know we're not, going to be boyfriend, girlfriend, and, like, that's it.
Yeah.
But we're still exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, like you, don't feel comfortable, like, fucking a lot of people at the same time.
Right.
And with that, I mean, like, that also includes me having sex with someone who is having sex with other people.
Because yeah.
that, like...
Yeah.
The karmatic, reasoning behind it is, like, I'm sharing or, like, absorbing the karma of all of those other people.
Yeah.
I really don't want
to. Like, all of their energy. It's like you're opening your heart. Because when you are engaging in a sexual experience, in whatever way, you are opening yourself up to that person. It is vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, for me... I'm not trying to do that with Guy and all the other women he's with. It already takes a lot for me to just do that with Guy. So, yeah.
And, like, yeah, she was at the point, like, at the end of the day, you don't even know. Like, you just trust that they're not doing it and whatever. Yes, that's true. But at the same time, if you establish it from the beginning and he turns out, or the person turns out to be an asshole or a liar or, like, whatever the fuck, then that's on the person, not on you for not expressing what you wanted.
Right.
So I was like, when she was like, yeah, I'm just going to ask him about, like, casual versus serious. I'm like, but that's not really what you're asking about. You're asking
right.
about exclusivity. Like, that's really what you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, yeah, but maybe that would be, like, after once he tells me this, then that would be, like, a second talk. That would be another conversation. Because it would be, like, too much. Thinking, like, it would be, like, too much, too intense for, like,
yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, no. I would say, like, before even starting, you know what I mean? Like, it's never too early to say that.
Yeah.
And it's not too, and what if you are too intense? Like, what does that even mean?
Well, yes. And is that, like, is that femininity? Is that woman power? Like, what is the intensity there? What is
no,
the
knowing
fear?
Your boundaries, like, is that
yeah.
intense?
And then, if that's the case, why does that have to be deemed intense?
Exactly. And why is intense a bad thing?
Yeah.
Why? Isn't that a good thing?
I guess it depends on the person. Because if you can handle intensity or not, not that it needs to be handled, but it's like, it's a lot of energy, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Energy transfer, energy exchange. Maybe some people aren't either used to that or... don't want it, or I don't know.
I feel like there's also this misconception of intensity is like drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it's gonna become like a fight or an argument or like whatever. In reality, no, not really. I mean, if you're toxic, then yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be intense without being toxic and just be a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because
on your own.
I mean, what is passion?
Exactly.
It's like, isn't that part of, like, oh, I want this, I almost said drama. But yeah, like, drama, romance, passion, like, whatever they have in said storylines or said movies or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Novelas.
Oh,
even started.
You know what I mean? But it's like, people are drawn to those and people like that. But that's also something that, you know, if their intensity is high, okay. But bring it into the reality of things.
Oh, someone's coming.
Hello.
Thanks, all right. I hope you're okay.
Yeah,
the air quality is fucked right
yeah,
now.
So,
so, and then to prove my point, the guy's answer was, I actually feel the same way. I don't do casual things. And
yeah.
I don't do casual whatever. And sorry if I was not too open. I had that before where, like, girls tell me or, like, women tell me that I'm not being, like, open enough
mm-hmm.
or, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, there you go. He even thought that it was something that he was doing about, like, himself not opening up.
Yeah.
When in reality, you want to ask about if he's fucking someone else.
Yeah.
Or what the fuck with those that condom box, or like, what, you know, like it was something so specific what you really wanted to know. And then you asked another question, and then you got an answer for another question that you had, but not, you still don't have the answer for that original question.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, still don't have an answer.
Which would bother me.
Oh, bother the, well, bother the
podcast. Us. That's why we're talking about
Totally.
Because it goes against that intuitive nature within us, which is like something that we, I mean, we try to build that and connect to that in yoga and in daily life all the time. You know what I mean? Thinking about the third eye, thinking about this space of intuition. So it's like when you are in a practice of constantly tapping into your intuitive sense, but then you are upheld to these standards and rules and these games, and you decide to choose against your intuition. Now you're suppressing it, and now you're going against what you feel inside is true and right and what you need for your knowing.
And what message are you giving yourself and your intuition and your third eye?
Yeah.
It's like disregarding it's, that gift.
Yeah. It's now you don't, maybe you feel you have more trust with said person, but now you have less trust with you and your intuition.
And it also links to another thing she said, because then she was like, kind of like planning, like, so where do I go from now?
Mm-hmm.
I think now we need a conversation in person. I'm like, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, great. That's perfect. But I think I'm going to say that maybe I want to like hold back a little bit. I mean, just like stop or slow down like in the sexual realm or like whatever, because I think we need to get to know each other better and see if we're compatible and all these things besides like the sex stuff. But I think I'm going to say like, let's dial that back, but it's fine. You can have sex with other people as long as, I don't know. I'm like,
what?
I'm like, how do you, because I mean, I really don't care. I mean, I don't care if he has sex with other people. I just don't want to know. And I'm like, that's a disconnection, because if you really didn't have a problem with it happening, why would you have a problem knowing it? And I think it went back to the same, like, because, I mean, in reality, you don't know. I'm like, yeah, but that's separate. Like, if he's going to be a liar or an asshole, yeah, we don't know. We don't assume that from a person that we just met. Mm-hmm. But if you're from the beginning saying, like, oh, because I'm not going to give you sex, go ahead and find it somewhere else, because I guess I'm not enough without that. So do that as long as I don't know, that's fine. I'm like, I think that's not intuitive, like your intuition, is that really? And obviously, like 2 or 3 days later, she was like, you were right, you were right. I don't want him to have sex with
yes,
other people.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm going to say.
Exactly.
So that's like that story, and that's about dating. But like, how many of these ideas we subscribe to that we don't even... Oh, thank you. I had a hair across my forehead. Couldn't find it. Thanks, Deanna.
I got you.
Thank you. You subscribe to these ideas that you don't even know where they come from. Mm-hmm. And it applies to so many things, like education or like our consumerism,
yes.
Like all of these things
yes.
we buy that we don't need and that we've been just, they drilled in our heads that we need all these stupid ass things that we don't. And I don't know, what else did I say? Education. Yeah, like how that's like the system's,
I mean,
that's so
a
flawed.
Huge,
that's so huge. That's like three episodes. Don't get me started at like how that relates to the education all the way to university and specifically in like health sciences,
mm-hmm.
and how that's totally manipulated by pharmaceutical companies,
mm-hmm.
because their interest is to keep you sick, not healthy. So
right.
from what you learn in pre-med, med school, nursing school, all of those things are really like, question it. Where is it coming from?
Yeah.
And another, like as a therapist, how you have that example of how your therapist, can you tell that story?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, I mean, with everything going on during this pandemic and the rise of the Black Lives Matter and that whole movement, it started to, when I was continuing therapy with my personal therapist, she, as a Black woman and a Black therapist, started to question, you know, where are these theories coming from? Where is my, like, studies and university and professors, like what is their background? What is their cultural and systemic history? Because that's what she was then trained in. So she and I would spend a lot of our sessions just talking about how a lot of the theories, one, come from men.
And white, rich men.
Yeah, white,
white
men.
Cis, straight, rich men.
Yeah, these men. And it wasn't until later that there were some women who started to bring in their theories, but again, mainly white women. And it's like then seeing this all funneled down into university where, I mean, I know at my university, all of our, well, most of our professors were Caucasian, white people. I think we had one of our professors who was
not Caucasian.
Not Caucasian.
The Caucasity.
Yes. You know what I mean? So it's like, we spent a lot of time talking about that because it's like in grad school, we're supposed to decide as a therapist, what is your theoretical background? And that's how you then help your clients. And you have to choose a theoretical background, basically, in order to get a job to make the money to then help the people.
You need to play the game.
You have to play the game.
In order to get the alphabet soup.
Yes,
your
the
letters.
Alphabet, like all my letters, like MA, LPC, NCC, even yoga, ERYT. Like I have to pay YA for those letters.
Yeah, we do every year.
Know, every year. Which I appreciate the governing system for ethics, but also it's like I had to play the game. I couldn't even get into grad school without playing the undergrad game. So what? I'm a communications major. I just chuck through it so I can get through undergrad early so I can start grad school already because ultimately I want to be a therapist. But I had to play the game to get there.
And at the end of the game, what do? You disregard most of the things that
well,
you
yeah,
do.
Well, yeah, and then it's
theories
like,
are like, what are you?
You know, you, and then you put it into practice and you're like, what? Like, I cannot just operate out of one theoretical background. I'm pulling from this, I'm pulling from this, I'm pulling from this, I'm pulling from this. And then I'm pulling from my own life experience to help these people who are right in front of me. Because the theory is great and awesome and whatever, but like we talked about, it's just also a theory. You know? I'm like, I can make my own theory.
Yeah.
Like, let's sign up. Like, I'll do the research, whatever. Not that I'm going to do that, but it's like one of those things where my therapist over the summer decided she was going to taper off seeing clients because she really wanted to evaluate how does she move forward as a Black therapist in this world? And how does she take care of herself and her self-care and putting her first and foremost? And I was like, absolutely. Please go do. Awesome. Like, that's amazing. You know, but how many other people just sit back, play the game to make the money? Maybe because they have to. And unfortunately, maybe because they have to. I don't know.
Because we have to. In so many cases, we're trapped in these systems that intersect to oppress us in many ways.
Yeah.
And to keep us poor, uneducated. Like, so many things. Sick. So many things.
Yeah.
And how do you, like, play the game to also kind of, like, take advantage of it while you're at it?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you need to be working on yourself. And with the secrets that you already know that are like, but everything that you have all
yes.
learned already.
Like, I have the cheat codes.
You have the cheat codes.
Like, I can build my Sims house, but also I can get as much money as I want, but still have to play the Sims.
Yes. And at the same time, it's like, you have to do all this self-work with, like, your cheat sheet. I can speak English today. But at the same time, it pulls you in so many directions because you're playing the game. You're working on yourself, and at the same time, you need to be working together with everyone to fucking dismantle these systems.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And then it's like trying to filter out, like, who's on your team? Because it's like, we all know we're in this game, but like, are you on my team, or are you just kind of like, kind of over there, maybe?
Or are you
team,
a cop?
But, like, are you undercover? Like, if I say the wrong thing to the wrong person, like, oh, that will not be good. But if I have, like, teammates who are also undercover, having some cheat codes that are the same as mine, like, okay, now we have a team.
Yeah.
But it's even tricky
the
just...
The network.
What is this? What is it in The Handmaid's Tale? Like Mayday or something. Yeah, I just watched it. This is Mayday.
The whitest feminist series
ever. But it's a start.
It's a start.
It's a start.
It's something.
It's something provoking enough to be like, oh, what? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
The system. But yeah, the game. The system. Game. To fucking fight it, dude.
It's intense. I felt a lot of emotion come up through me, and now it's like this nice, I don't, there's like, no resolve, but yeah, it's just like a release.
Yeah, exactly. Because also, and like, different topic, but like, me personally have been deeply affected by Mars retrograde.
Oh,
because Mars. I'm an Aries, yes. And it really brings up these feelings of frustration, anger, impatience, like all of those things that I always try to like not see.
Yes.
Not suppress, but like redirect.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Healthily redirect, or you know, or just like prevent them from even coming up. When I'm like,
yeah.
But right now it's like, but like,
how have you been feeling lately with these, like, I don't know, cosmic,
all the fire?
Literally. West Coast is on fire.
And that's another thing, dude. You know how many encounters, I mean, not a lot because I don't put myself out there that much because this happens and it affects me, but I follow a lot of people like on Instagram, like these socialist accounts and environmentalist accounts and feminist accounts, like all these type of accounts to educate myself and like see the world through other people's eyes and experiences and etc. So there have been all of these posts that are kind of like blaming the fires on like, oh, those things that those people who started the fire, you know, like that family that made the gender reveal party, which I absolutely am against. Like, first of all, gender reveal parties, like, stop that. Stop the gendering thing now. But also, and like, yes, they are to blame for being complete stupid and idiots. But at the same time, it's like, who created the conditions for those fires to ignite? Like, there were so many, 80%, that's the statistics, that 80% of the fires were started by some human activity. But at the same time, it's like the conditions were already, it was fucking hot. It was like record-breaking hot. The leaves were dry as fuck and like all of these things for the fires to spread and like So all of these people have been like, don't pin this on the people. Like, we haven't done this because we are vegan, so we are aware of also like the impact that, you know, those industries have in like water and pollution and suffering, but also in carbon emissions and global warming and all of those things, right? So I'm like, guys, we all did this. I've been saying kind of like, we all did this. Like, we all play a part in this. That's kind of like my argument. And I've had so much backlash about...
Backlash, is that a thing?
Backlash, okay. Yeah. Okay, thanks. I know a word. about like, don't pin this on the people. It's the companies. It's the industries. It's the 1%. It's like, I'm like, yeah, of course, because we're in a system and that's not ethical. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard to have any ethical behaviors or like whatever within an unethical system. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we don't have the same responsibility as those fuckers, as the rich or as the industries. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree also. And not all of us can do the same.
Yeah.
We don't have the same resources.
Correct.
I agree. So we don't have the same level of responsibility and we don't all have the same resources to do something about it. I completely agree in all of that. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to do your part. And I found this, I'm actually on Instagram, I found this like really great quote yesterday actually. And I was like, yes, this is what I mean. Thank you for posting this because this is exactly what I meant. And now I don't have any signal. But it was something like the fact that, oh, here it is. I found it. The fact that we need systemic change to stop the climate crisis does not mean you get a pass on making individual changes. And that doesn't mean that you're going to make the same changes as me. That doesn't mean that you and poverty are going to make the same changes that I can make and that as a white person living in the hills is going to make and as a billionaire with a conglomerate of companies is going to make. It's not the same. But at the same time, I've met so many people in the vegan. There's so many people that are anti-vegan. I cannot eat. Like, how are you anti-something? Like, how are you anti? What? And that's what I've encountered. It's just like, you're so blind because within your activism of like, yeah, social justice and this and that, you think veganism is like this whitewashed thing. Where in reality, another statistic that I recently learned that is most of, I don't want to say the wrong, actually the wrong number, but there's a big amount of BIPOC people, and especially Black in the Black community, the percentage of people that goes vegan is way higher than in other races or in the white one. So with this, I mean, like, just like the yoga can be so such like a beauty cult, and like for some people that take it so superficially and think it's just going to this $200 a month studio with your, I don't want to say the brand, but like, you know, this brand that it's not very inclusive and that you pay $100 for leggings with your water bottle and that you got. And then like, yes, that's one thing, but that doesn't mean that's yoga. And it's the same for veganism. Yeah. It's not the same thing. I've met so many like undocumented people, working class people, kids, teenagers that are aware of this and that have decided to become vegan for many reasons, for the compassion part of it, for the suffering, for the environmental reasons, for all of these reasons. And then I'm like, and then you are telling me that I'm like taking part in this capitalist bullshit, like whitewashed bullshit because I'm vegan. I'm like, no, I'm not telling anyone what to eat. Like, if it doesn't apply to you, don't take it.
Yeah.
But if it does apply to you, if you can substitute your meals, if you can change the way you eat, if it applies to you, why aren't you doing it? Because at this point, sorry, but it's affecting all of us. Yeah. It's not like, I don't know, 10 years ago, you could say like, oh yeah, whatever, it, do it in your own time. Like, okay, I didn't do it until I was 30 something, so they'll find their way or like whatever. But right now it's like, look the fuck around. Like, this is, we all did this. And not only the industries, like it's everyone. We can all do something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think, yeah. I wanted to say that. I needed to get that off my chest.
A deep breath.
Yeah. So, with Mars and that, it was like 2 days ago, I was like, these things, these girl and this socialist account, even like, went at the nerve to go to my account, to my personal account, to my Instagram, and like comment on one of my posts about veganism, which was all facts. It was just like hashtag go vegan, and like it was just like for humanity, for the animals, for the world, go vegan. And then it was this kind of like diagram of like all the consequences of eating animals. It was only facts. It wasn't anything subjective. I didn't say if you eat animals, you're evil. Because that was something like she commented, like, because our food choices are evil. I'm like, I never fucking said that. Mm-hmm. And you like are harassing me at this point. You came into my Instagram. Like, this was like, we were having a discussion in like a socialist account and comments. And now you've decided to, like, follow me into my account, click on my posts, and, like, comment on one of my posts that is, like, literally just facts to state that I'm, like, I'm saying that you're evil. I'm like, are you projecting?
Like, what is this?
Are you realizing that maybe you have some responsibility in this?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely...
I mean, they get so mad, and I'm like, bro.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, if you take a yogic sense of it, it's like the first yama is ahimsa.
The first yama. So it's like, it's non-harming. At this point, it's like, it's part of my spiritual practice.
Yeah,
period.
It's just part of the yogi life.
It's part of the yogi. Yeah. Well, yet a lot of yogis, I would say most yogis, are not vegan, for example.
Mm.
So for that, I mean,
no judgment, but I don't know. That's what, like, that's a...
But a little bit.
Obviously, a concept within themselves of that phase, you know?
You know what else? I mean, everyone else has, like, a time and a process. And I get when they're aware, and at least when they're aware.
Yeah.
And at least when they're like, I'm a vegan because whatever, like, whatever hasn't clicked in their brain, like, whatever. But when it's, like, even, like, bragging about it or being anti-vegan or, like, making fun of people or who are actually doing something within that category, I'm like, dude, then you're just an asshole. Come on.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it's just going out of your way to, like,
going out of your way to spread hate. And that's when I'm like, this is why it's so important to work on yourself first.
Yeah.
Before you try to do any kind of like social, environmental, whatever the hell, justice movement, spreading any sort of word.
Yeah.
Work on yourself, bro. Like, are you compassionate? Are you a good person even? Like, what are you doing? And not even a good person, because that's like, what's good and what's bad. But like, are you bettering yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Are you working on that? Because if not, you're not going to be able to change anything. Let's say we dismantle all the systems of oppression and, like, after the revolution, we are victorious. Yeah, but we're just a bunch of assholes. What do you think that's going to take us?
Probably not where I want to go. Not where I want to go. I don't want to be there.
I don't want to wait.
I just want to... More peace.
For us to be over. Yeah, exactly. So we need to do both things.
Mm-hmm.
We need to work on both things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even more in like yourself, because otherwise how can you serve the movement? How can you serve the purpose if you don't have the clarity to know what you need to be doing or what's the next step or what's even appropriate at this point.
Yeah.
You can turn to the dark side so easily. Look at Osho. Look at Anakin Skywalker.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you can definitely.
It's easy.
It's so easy.
It's easy.
In one day.
Yeah. But that's the same thing. It can be so easy to turn it around too. It can be so easy to step in the light. You just have to make the choice.
Choices.
Shower. Do your things, yeah.
Shower.
Shower. Personal, daily care. Taking care of yourself. So you can take care of, ultimately, the world. Because if Mother Earth hasn't cried enough, like, she's burning. I mean, I think for me, through all the Mars retrograde and the fires and everything, I've been doing that Ho'oponopono meditation. Which basically, it comes from I think Hawaiian lineage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, I thank you. So you apply it to anything that's going on, because no matter what, your energy is here. You are here for a purpose, you are here for a reason, and you impact everything. Because you are energy and everything is energy.
So you are the universe.
Yes.
You are Mother Earth. You are the planet.
We are the planet. We are all experiencing this. And so it's like taking that ownership. I am sorry. I'm sorry for things that I have done to contribute to, if you wanted to,
we all to the have.
Fires. Yeah. And then please forgive me. Asking for forgiveness. Asking for the humility. Understanding that forgiveness is not to the fire. Forgiveness is for you.
To reset, for a new start. To start over.
Yes.
To correct you. To change your path. To...
Mm-hmm. Realign.
Realign.
Yeah, thanks. Absolutely.
When I start doing
all the hands,
please, I have no words. Help me. Please feel free to
Yeah. And then it's, I love you because you are love. We are all love. So stepping into the heart space, stepping into pure love. I love you. I love you. I love all.
And you're welcome. You're welcome, Hannah.
But also the gratitude practice,
mm-hmm.
right?
Every day.
All things. Like, I literally, this is maybe TMI, but I was sitting on the toilet.
I love TMI.
And I was like, toilet paper. I have such gratitude for toilet paper right now that I have enough squares to get me through this until I go to the grocery store.
You need a bidet.
I do. I want the bidet. I need to figure that out. But, you know what I mean? It's just like gratitude for the trees that created this paper to wipe my ass so I can have comfort. I don't walk around with monkey butt.
Sure.
You know? There's like, you know, the monkeys. What are those? Like the Rafiki monkeys.
The buffaloes, too.
Or the buffaloes.
They have like hanging, like, you know, like dreads.
Oh, yeah, dreads. Of like yes. loose hair and yeah. like all stuff.
Shit.
Like, yeah, like, good thing my area is nice and clean and not rashy and I don't need to Vaseline anything. Like, I'm so thankful for you toilet paper. You know, it's just. TMI
a little bit.
It really is. It's like you can put gratitude in literally everything you do. So it's like.
And thank yourself. Thank your body. Yes. Thanking.
I mean, there's so much. We could be thanking for a whole episode.
You know,
we could be thanking forever.
Okay, so say that again. Say that the.
So the Ho'oponopono meditation is.
Say it again. What is it?
Ho'oponopono.
Ho'oponopono.
Yeah, I think it's H-O.
Apostrophe.
I mean, yeah, apostrophe.
Ho. Ho, I'll never forget that. Ho, ho, apostrophe, ho'oponopono.
H-O.
Ho'oponopono. And it's
okay, here is it. Here it is. H-O, apostrophe. O-P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O. Ho'oponopono.
Mm-hmm. Ho'oponopono. And that means?
I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I love you.
I thank you.
Okay.
But I've just been doing that every day and then going to the ocean to say thank you to Mama Earth because I need to cool it down.
And we also joined that.
The rain visualization meditation on IG Live. One of my friends sent me the post on IG. So I was like, yes, let's go. Rain dance. Like, whatever.
Let's focus. Let's visualize some rain.
Yes.
Some water falling from the sky.
Yeah. Nourishment. Tears. Whatever. Bring it.
Okay, well, let's say goodbye with that.
Okay.
Again, with a
Ho'oponopono.
Ready? We'll say it in Polynesian. Is that Hawaiian?
Hawaiian.
Okay, we'll say it in Hawaiian and then in English.
What's Hawaiian?
Hawaiian is a part of the Polynesian culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do we
say it in Hawaiian?
That is Hawaiian.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, Hawaiian is part of the Polynesian culture.
Yes.
But there are more languages, right? I don't know. I know
that. Unless it's native Hawaiian. I probably need to learn more.
Me too. Totally. I don't know what I'm saying.
We can do our part too.
We're always learning.
Yes.
Okay, so in Hawaiian is
Ho'oponopono.
In English is
I'm sorry.
Please forgive me.
I love you.
I thank you.
Okay.
Namaste.
Thanks for listening to the Intersectional Yoginis podcast.
If you liked this episode, please rate and share. If you didn't like it,
please don't go rating.
You can find us on Instagram at
the Intersectional Yoginis.
Namaste.
Namaste.